You are listening to 2300 Wrestling Podcast with DB Richards and Sweet Tea referee Dave Keener on Anchor FM, Spotify, and other leading platforms.
Hello, this is DB Richards from the 2300 Wrestling Podcast, and this season is dedicated to Bill Pellerino. Rest in peace, my friend.
Go.
Welcome, everybody, to the 2300 Wrestling Podcast. I am your host, DB Richards, alongside my Sweet Tea referee, Dave Keener.
Well.
Can we change that up? Because Wawa has no sweet tea anymore.
Hey, that's not my fault. You stole my sweet tea, you know what I mean?
Peach tea. So can I be the peach tea referee?
No.
Doesn't sound right?
No.
No?
You're my sweet tea.
Not lemon? Raspberry? No. Doesn't sound right?
I checked out when they stopped making mint tea.
Oh my gosh, really? They had mint tea?
That was like 10 years ago, yeah.
I don't remember mint tea. Huh.
And it wasn't even, the bottles weren't the way they are now. They were the square type bottles back then.
Ooh.
Nobody remembers that?
No, I don't.
I bet you our guest Chio Frost might remember that.
Oh, that's who we got on?
Yes, we do.
Oh, that's so amazing. Hello, Chio.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I didn't think he was there for a minute.
I'm doing pretty good. Just kicked back in the recliner with the heated blanket on. Because me being an old man that I am, and I get cold very easily.
You're not that old.
He's up there.
I'm like in the Jurassic era, you want to say it.
Jurassic era.
Well, then he should be one of your favorites, because you do like dinosaurs.
I do like dinosaurs.
Right.
Wait, the Jurassic era, do you come to the ring on Luchasaurus's shoulders?
No, far from it. You know, I'm still trying to get my wheels to roll, so I didn't quite get the wheels yet, but I'm still learning how to rub two sticks to make a fire.
He's got this walker, and it has a dinosaur head on the front, so it's perfect for him.
Yes.
Wow. No, I'm just fine. So we've been on your podcast a bunch of times, and
too many account.
Yeah, we...
Really? I have not noticed.
Not at all. even like short guest spots at like different shows.
They're like a toe fungus. No matter how much you scrub, they're just going to stick around.
Thank you. Yeah. That's so a compliment right there. I really, really enjoyed that compliment. Thank you.
It's like a vulture on the shoulder.
Dude, people tell us we're like the two old guys from the Muppets.
I don't know. He called us Opie and Anthony earlier.
Yeah, he did call us Opie and Anthony too. He said the feel of OP and Anthony. He didn't say we were them.
So does that mean I can say the word fuck over and over and over again?
No.
I mean, they do.
No. There's no cussing on the show. Fuck. What the fuck did I do?
Chio's like, what the fuck am I doing here?
Yeah, see?
He's like, what just happened?
Chio's on the other end going, motherfucker.
So I would like to talk about your podcast right now. Tell me about it.
Oh, well, we do Breakfast and Body Slams, Thursday Night Slam, and Pop-Up Fight Bombs, which is under the umbrella of the Body Slams Podcast.com. We actually started a year ago in the studio, February 27th, a year ago. So basically this coming up, 27th, will be our 1 year anniversary, which we'll be doing live from Richfield Park, New Jersey. And
at the Invictus show.
Yeah, we'll most likely do it inside the ring again, like we did last time we were there.
I did get an invite for that.
We got an invite?
I mean, it's on a Sunday, though.
It's a Sunday?
I've got a lot of those Invictus boys coming up on my show.
Oh, should we take a road trip?
I mean, I could text Alex and let him know we're coming up.
Let's do it.
It's a Sunday. The 27th.
What time's the
27th.
Show?
Doors open up at, I believe, 3 bell times, 4 o'clock for the main show. They might have a pre-show, but we'll go live. At 11, though, at 11 a.m.
That means we would have to leave at 9.
Yeah, and we do have a podcast episode.
Who do we got?
Mastodon. Why not? We can do both.
Right.
You can do the recording in the car while you're driving.
We've done it before.
Yes, you have.
We can do it if we can get somebody help.
Well,
hi, Brian.
In this business, you got someone always trying to help.
Yes, this is true. We need to figure this out. Maybe we have to do it a day before or something like that. But we'll figure it out. But I love your podcast. I enjoy it every day. I missed it today. I'm very sorry because we were going to have an episode earlier today. today, but due to COVID, she couldn't come on. So,
but we understand.
Yeah.
So.
Yes, we totally understand.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, today's episode was, since it was Black History Month, we touched upon African American wrestlers who paved the way, pretty much like the earlier ones from like the 80s and earlier before that. We did not want to get too mainstream of like the current stars or the ones from like 10 years ago or something like that. We wanted to try to touch ones that like upon ones that we grew up watching. And prior to that, we ran out of time. We went like on for like an hour and a half, and we didn't really touch on the female wrestlers. So next week, our next week's show will be the female edition for Black History Month of African American female wrestlers who paved the way for the stars of today. We are in negotiation of looking into getting some female guests on to help speak on it. One just happened to be Frankie Frizzo's wife, who used to be a female worker herself, and she just happened to be Black. And our man, Joey Image, he's going to reach out to a friend of his that is, I want to say she's awesome. He's kind of like a Kong, if you get what I'm saying. So he's going to reach out to her and find out if she can come on or not, or maybe find her to come on one of our Thursday night shows for as a future guest. But like I said, that's up in the air. He's just reaching out to find out info to see if everything's a go for next week. But that's our show for next Sunday at 11.
What about Denise?
Yeah, you should talk to Denise.
You know what? Some people are very hard to get a hold of to get on the show. You're like Dog was one of the hard ones to get on the show.
He didn't even get on the show.
Like, and they're like always busy too. So certain talent that you reach out to, it's hard because of their schedules.
Yeah, that's very true. But did you guys talk about my favorite wrestler when I was a kid, Junkyard Dog?
Who? Yeah. See, he was the first one that popped up on the list.
But what about the like underrated Black wrestlers like JT Smith, SD Jones, Iceman King Parsons, Slick Wagner Brown? You know who?
Yes, we did talk about Slick Wagner Brown, ST Jones. We talked about Pez Watley. We talked about I don't have the list in front of me, but it was a list of people of Sweet Daddy Siki. Oh my God, I wish I had the list in front of me right now, but like there was so many names. Iceman King Parsons, Brickhouse Brown. Yeah, a lot of people are saying who.
Brickhouse Brown who?
Yeah, exactly.
Go back and study your old Mid-South Texas USWA. That's where you see these guys.
Well, that and you know, when I think Black wrestlers, I think of the person who I personally think of the godfather of New York wrestling, Johnny Rods.
Yeah.
He's pretty much kind of developed that whole style that came out of New York in the 90s and 2000s and today's.
Right. And the people that he trained and everything else, it was...
He's up there. Right. He's up there with...
And I mean, it was really awesome to sit there and talk to him at Hamburg last summer. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah. We had pulled up a whole list of African American wrestlers, and there was a lot that wasn't even on the list too. I went through, and there was a lot of older ones that I did not recognize from like maybe the 50s or whatever. I might have heard their name, but I didn't know too much about them. So I did a little quick back research on them just to get some keynotes just to touch upon. And it was surprising to hear and read some of these names and what kind of status they had behind them. I know Joey, when he was on the show today, he actually heard of like one or two that I never heard of. So that was kind of surprising.
What were the names? I'm just wondering.
Like I said, I don't got the list in front of me. I cannot. It was a long list of names. It was a really long list. And I literally had to get out a different color pen, put check marks and write little side notes. And like I said, I don't have it in front of me right now. I know there was one, I think his name was Luther Lindsay. He wrestled Luthes 2 times for the World Heavyweight Championship, and I believe it went to like time limit draws with him. Wow. And I think he was part of the Canadian Football League as well, and might have been if I can remember. I believe he was a student of Stu Hart's. Yeah. So like I said, there was a lot of info I was finding about different guys that I never really heard of. So we kind of touched upon that, and like I said, next week we got all week to do our research, to dig in of talent that we might have forgot about, growing up seeing, or ones we never heard of. But we're not trying to touch upon the current females, even though they might get acknowledged that, like, hey, so-and-so, you know, maybe learned from this one, or this was one of her idols, or whatever. But like I said, we're trying to keep it historically of the historic figures that came before.
So we are looking at your Instagram right now. So we're seeing the pictures. Looks like you're a big Star Wars fan.
Well, you're looking at my personal Instagram. That's what you're looking at.
Yeah. Yeah, we found your personal Instagram.
I love the Vader donuts.
Yeah, the Care Bears and the Ewoks. That's so funny.
Yeah, Spider-Man Picard.
Yeah, it's multiple wide range of different things I like. From Marvel to DC, G.I. Joe, Transformers, old school wrestling, just random stuff. Like old school Saturday morning cartoons. I would put stuff like memes up of like Ninja Turtles and stuff, whatever it is. Just last night I went old school. My night consisted of I actually have a original Nintendo Entertainment System.
Oh.
And I was playing Super Mario 2 last night.
Ooh. I got that on the classic system.
I did not like Super Mario 2. I just never liked it.
No, I liked it. My favorite one of my favorite characters was the princess to play as her because she floated.
Okay.
And yes. And I found Super Mario Bros. 2 a little bit different than the other ones because instead of bouncing your head on the blocks, you're going to pick things up from the ground.
Yeah. Well, Super Mario Bros. 2 is actually Super Mario Bros. 2.5 because the original Super Mario Bros. 2 only came out in Japan. And this was made for the American market. My wife is a Super Mario Brothers super freak.
I did not know that. Did she like the movie?
No.
Yeah.
So I am.
I said she liked Super Mario Brothers.
Right.
So I'm a big fan of the movie The Wizard with the original
1983 movie.
And they were chasing all through the country to get to this video game contest. And they played the last game was Mario 3, and I loved Mario 3.
Yeah, I remember that movie.
One of my favorite movies.
Hey, did anyone like the Mario Brothers movie with John Leguizamo?
No.
We're gonna feed this one to Mike. Go ahead.
Not if you liked Super Mario Brothers. And not if you liked good movies or movies that you could sit through and not be revolted. I mean, am I a little too harsh?
I mean, it had a great cast. John Leguizamo, Bob Hoskins, Dennis Hopper.
I was going to say that. The cast was great. The story could have been a hell of a lot better, more to the video game itself.
Right.
But Dennis Hopper playing Koopa did not work for me. They could have went for the video game version of Koopa instead. They could have based it more off the video game. But the cast of Bob Hoskins and Don Leguizamo did work for me. I like them too in the movie though.
Have you ever read the backstory about that movie?
I heard stuff like on like YouTube, and I read some stuff, but not really a in-depth backstory.
Like my favorite is if you watch the movie, you're gonna see Bob Hoskins and John Leguizamo like have bandages and be hurt throughout the movie, and it's because they hated working on the movie so much they were getting drunk every single day on the set. And they would, like, twist their ankles and cut their hands open and stuff like that.
So they would purposefully stunt themselves.
Yeah.
So, we'll get back into all this gimmick stuff. Like, everybody's enjoying
that. Yeah, no, I want to try that.
Everybody's enjoying... Oh, did that go
Scrapple and pancakes?
Could I...
Oh, yeah. Oh my God.
Could I steer the conversation back to a
wrestling?
No, wrestling. Chio. So
wrestling, what's that?
I'm just kind of thinking with it just kind of reminded me of something. Talking about wrestling or talking about Mario Brothers reminded me of Big Game Leroy. And I was going to ask Chio, speaking of Invictus, who are you looking at as up and coming black wrestlers on the independent?
Up and coming. Ah, man.
Again, my first Big Game Leroy is the person that pops into my head.
Encore.
Matt Knox, Matt Vertigo, Adam Payne.
Okay, is it my turn yet?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. No, not at all.
Okay. I'm gonna go out and say, the young kids down over at Super Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You got the guys which been around for a little bit. You know, they're making headways, but I think they can do a lot more. Guys like Dave Reed.
Yes.
Tyher James.
Yes.
Darian Hardway.
Yes.
Samael Fozzy.
Fozzy's great.
You know, exactly. Guys from down there, I get to see more, but I do not get to see. I don't get out and about as much to see a lot of the talent from around the area. But Big Game Leroy is one of those talents that I do see that I see progressing. Will the video game gimmick continue to work for him in his future career? I don't know. Will he change gears and go more serious for when maybe he goes to other companies and to step up his work? We don't know.
But I think it worked because those guys at House of Hardcore saw it and he was working for them for a little bit.
Okay, for now, the gimmick thing is working, not just for him, but also for a lot of other wrestlers, which I talked on my show about. I'm a big I love gimmick wrestlers like from back then when guys who actually had gimmick. We talked about how Tony Atlas came back as Saba Simba. A lot of people hated it. I loved it only the fact that because I'm a gimmick guy like that. I like gimmick. For people who did not know Tony Atlas at the time and kids who are just tuning in when he came back at Saba Simba, it was a treat for them because it was a character gimmick.
Right.
Big Game Leroy, his social media video game character works for him. Just like going to AEW, you got the Danhausen character. You got Orange Cassidy doing his thing. You got Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy. The gimmicks, you know?
Yes.
But they work for them. Will this gimmick work for him to get him somewhere like an AEW or whatever? Because we all know if he goes to somewhere like WWE...
Oh, it's out the window.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes. They're hands down going to repackage him.
Dude, you got the Kid Rocket and you got Gil...
GKM?
Yeah. Dude, these kids are amazing. You know what I mean? There's so many. Like, Vaughn is a good one.
Yeah.
Harry.
Yeah. Ryan Redfield.
Yeah. Ryan Redfield. Who else?
Hobo Harry.
He's white.
I was paying attention.
Hey, guys, I got a question for you. I just muted my mic. Did you hear me cough there for a second?
No, not at all.
No, not at all.
And I mean, okay, you mentioned David Reed, and I mean, it goes back to his father, too.
Yeah, Larry.
You know, I don't think a lot of people knew who Lucky Larry Fontaine was, but he was such a great manager in this area.
Good man, too.
Great man.
Very nice.
Met him once.
Yeah.
Worked with him plenty of times. You were there the night that we did that bit at the school.
I was there. Yep.
Yeah.
So, listen.
Another guy that I wanted to mention that... I think he's hurt now, but you guys can fill me in on this, is Big Rock.
Yeah, Big Rock is injured. He.
But he's white.
Yeah, I know he is. He's Italian. Yo, Cuz, what's up? Yo, Cuz.
Yeah, but you know what they say, Italians and brothers, they all come from the same line. Hey.
I mean, if we're going that route to great brothers wrestler or something like that, Deshaun Pratt.
Deshaun Pratt?
Yeah.
Deshaun Pratt. Yeah.
Don't forget one of our favorites that was here, Darian Hardway. Frankie Picard.
Jesus making headways down in NWA.
I'm so happy for him.
Jesus already performed in WWE as enhancement talent.
Yes.
He was in Impact. He was on pay-per-views for Impact for TNA.
He was in
stuff
a movie.
Like
no.
Yeah. So
he was in the wrestler.
He's already doing all. Yeah.
I have a name that I want you guys to look up. I've had him on my show before. His name is Rampage Santana. I had him in right before. He's from Minnesota. I had him in right before the end of the year. He is betting that by the end of 2022, he will be signed by NXT. He's 6'5", 300 pounds, solid muscle, and moves phenomenally.
Wow.
He is so graceful in the ring.
Okay.
That was
Rampage Santana.
Santana.
Hey,
okay.
You can't forget the Black Wall Street. There's an all-great tag team right there.
And
if you want to talk about tag teams, there's also the rep here in Philadelphia, too.
Yes. Dave Call.
Yeah.
He's a Dave, so we have to... And Nate.
Christian Ross.
He is not the boss for me. You know what I mean? No, just kidding. I love that kid.
Yeah, I feel that a lot of times with a lot of the new talent that's out there, I feel like I'm a little bit out of the loop because when I was younger and I used to follow everybody, I knew who everyone was up and coming, this and that. But as the older I got, I had more responsibilities to take care other than wrestling. So it kind of sidetracked me from, you know, keeping track of what's going on in the business. Like this week, I did not watch it. And just regular shows in general. I'm at that stage where I'm pretty much wind down, where I'm going to take a back seat to all the headaches of professional wrestling. As far as working on shows, whether it be doing sound and stuff like that, I believe this year is going to be my last year renting out my services.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to continue being a part of business, but do my own in-house stuff. You know, like how Super Crazy has their own place and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I like to have my own. I want to have my own place over here in my area. But I'm actually looking for a place that has a attachment living quarters built on, maybe, or get a living quarters where I can build my own place onto it. That way, I don't have to do the whole travel and set up, and you know, especially the travel part, where I can just like open up my side door and walk right into the school arena. Hey, that'd be great, whatever. But I'm looking to put on a more like educational thing as far as after school programs. I want to get back to the community where kids in high school, they do stuff like JoJo. Like she does photography.
Yeah.
And stuff. But I want to give stuff to other kids who do like video work, kids that are writers in school, ones that are graphic artists, a place where they can come and develop their skills, taking pictures, recording, using our product to take back to school as a project that they can show their teachers what they're doing, whether it's recording a live event and editing and making it look like quality for TV and stuff like that. And they can take it back to school as an assignment of a project that they're working. Same thing with the photography. And if they have writing scripts where they want to come and try to help produce a show, they can show their teachers how they can be writers in this world too as well.
I'm sorry, real quick. So when we talk a little bit about, you know, fate and stuff like that and meeting people. So I'm a high school teacher, and what I actually teach in creative writing is what I turned into creative writing for the 21st century. And what we do is we start by writing news articles and we work our way all the way up to making short films and
okay.
And learn and teaching students how to do that. And it sounds like if you were to have something like that, I would love to be able to collaborate with you and possibly, you know, filter some kids your way in the future.
Too bad you don't do like a promo class with that. That would be pretty cool. With the writing?
I'm gonna do a promo class. They've sat through a couple episodes of my podcast. They don't like it.
Let us know, because I know a couple good promo writers.
Yeah, there are countless numbers of other figures out there who, whether they do podcasts or within the wrestling industry, who does different aspects of the business, who already confirmed that they would like to collaborate with me, come in, whether it's video work, Clark or other photographers who got their stuff in magazines would love to come in and show upcoming photographers, you know, the right lighting, green screen, that kind of stuff. And even the video work and, you know, and people who did like the writing and the podcasters to sit down and how they want to conduct their interviews, how they want to touch on certain topics, but also want to be friendly to the world of viewers out there, because you don't want to disrespect anybody. Or, of course, then again, nowadays, somebody somewhere always gets offended by something, so you can't please the world, but you can always try your best to at least tone it down, whatever the case may be.
Yes. So I wanna like get into your how you started got into wrestling and all. So
hour later,
it's okay. Like it's a different show. I wanna find out because there's a lot of people out there that
it's
don't
like
know.
1 hour later.
Dude, what is wrong with you?
Oh, no, I'm just having fun. It's Gio. I gotta.
So we wanna know how you got into the business.
Should I start from the beginning, or
do we have enough time for that?
Yes, we have time.
Okay.
Or just the part where I got into the school.
Whatever you want to tell us.
I guess I'll start from the beginning. So I can clear up some fabricated stories. At age of 15 or whatever, I met a guy by the name of Ray Torres. He was a trainee at Dio's Dungeon. It was run by Jimmy Dio. It was the dungeon, which is currently run by the Mess Brothers, but back then it was Jimmy Dio, Dr. Johnny Wildside, Jeff Gripley. He was a trainee there, but he was a backyard wrestler. I just moved back, just seen a bunch of kids going to the park. One of the kids said, "Hey, we're going up to wrestle." Sure, I got to meet the guy, and like I said, we were backyard wrestling. He didn't let the cat out of the bag until later on that, you know, he was a trainee at school and start firing out. So that being said, I started helping out the school. I wasn't training there. I was not. I was like a gopher. I watched the gym and this and that. So I didn't get my initial training until the school split owners, and the one teamed up with Jeff Ripley teamed up with the godfather of pro wrestling, or you want to call it the godfather of extreme, Damian Kane, who was in ECW. They opened up Body Slams Pro Wrestling Training Center and Arena, which hosted All-Star Wrestling Federation, and that's where I got my initial training, where I paid my dues in the ring, trained, graduated, had my first match in that building because it was a school and arena as well. So under Jeff Ripley and Damian Kane, that's who were my trainers. This other guy who I mentioned, he goes around and says, I trained him. I put him in the business. Dude, we were backyard wrestlers. We were young kids. You were only like about maybe a year, 2 years older than me. And for a lot of stuff you did not know, I helped you learn some of the stuff along the way too. So if you want to go and say you trained me, I trained you too then, just by helping you out. But I definitely got my start there. That's like CM Punk when he told his story, when how they were backyard wrestlers, they were doing this, they were doing that. He didn't consider himself a real wrestler until he went to what I guess it was the Ace Domain in Chicago and trained by Ace out there. I mean, when he trained in Chicago, yep. Then he pretty much dubbed himself an actual real wrestler then. That's how pretty much how I got my start. It was at Body Slam. You know, I had my first match against my trainer, against Damian Kane. A lot of great memories. What they do there is what a lot of companies around does now, whether it be Monster Factory, whether it be, I believe, H2O, Kid Row, Backbreakers School up near in Scranton, the Sanctuary. A lot of these schools that put shows on as their arenas too, that's what Body Slams was back then. We had bleachers in there. We had a gym we could work out to as well. It was all in one spot. You know, they had concession, all that stuff. It was great. The only thing that sucked was the parking.
What was the best advice you've been given or you gave to an old wrestler?
It's the best advice that we all get, that each and every one of us, I'm sure everyone else got the same advice is shut your mouth, open your ears, open your eyes. Especially when you're young. Especially when you're just first starting out. Because you can say the wrong thing to the wrong person and that person could have pool. You might see an older guy in a locker room, even though you might do all this nice professional high flying stuff like that, but you probably don't. But when you blow a spot in the ring, you be like a deer in headlights. You just freeze when it, because so when these older guys are giving you advice, you know, take it for what it's worth. And those basic, simple stuff that they teach you could save you in the long run. I heard stories of guys, they go to these schools and the first thing they're being taught is not just boast, but like high spots, high spots, high spots. And then when I talk to them, hey, did you learn this? Did you learn that? And I'm going to the simple, basic stuff that you're supposed to learn. Like, no, I didn't know any of this stuff. So heed the words of the vet. Yes, they might be, we all might be on our way out the door. You know, we may not be with some of the hip, what's hip that's going on in the times nowadays, but a lot of the stuff that we learned, we pass on the others, it helps out. You know, it does sincerely help out. Because like I said, there's a lot of talent out there where they blow their high spots and it's like, what happened? What do I do next? dude, grab a fucking hoe, do this, do that, whatever. That simple stuff that we tried to tell you and you didn't want to listen, now you're screwing yourself.
Correct.
Don't be 12.
Don't be 12. Yep, don't be 12. That's my favorite device. So I like to play like a table of five. It's a little thing we do every time we're on the show. So you're the fifth person at the table and you need to put four more people at your table, or do you want to do a theme?
I don't know. It doesn't matter.
You got a theme?
Anybody? Well, how about this? How about this? Let's go with what we started off the podcast with. You get four other people at the table, historic black wrestlers. If you could have anybody at the table, who would you have?
That works, yeah. Let's go with that.
Historic black wrestlers or just historic wrestlers in general?
Historic black wrestlers.
Black wrestlers, African-American wrestlers.
Okay, four that I would put at the table. One will be Johnny Rodz, for sure.
Good one right there. That is amazing.
I wouldn't say historic, but my peer, my brother, Flex Willer. He would definitely be at my table. And two more historically, I would have to go along the line of
and I'm gonna put out there just for category, anyone that like was wrestling pre-2000, let's say.
He was pre-2000.
Flex Wheeler was like 95, 96.
No. I just meant while you were thinking of other people.
Okay.
Let me see here. I did get along with Tony Atlas. I would put Tony Atlas there because I do like Tony.
Tony's a good guy. Great drawer. Amazing artist.
And my final one would have to be... not per se wrestler, but someone who's very knowledgeable to the business. I would have to say Teddy Long.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah, I'll accept that. That is a good four people sitting at the table. Awesome. So what do you want to talk about?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's your turn to ask a question. It's amazing, Dave. He's like thinking over there. He's like, what should I pick?
Get the fire extinguisher. Yeah, I know DB had one of these a couple weeks ago, but you ever have a geek out moment or a mark out moment?
The day I met Chio.
Yeah. Or the day you met the barbarian and warlord in full paint.
Did I have a mark out moment?
Geek out moment.
We call it geek out because we don't want to make anybody named Mark upset.
Sorry, Mark messed.
I had a couple mark out moments in the ring and out of the ring. One was I met Bob Backlund in York, PA at National Championship Wrestling. We were actually, there was a small area downstairs in the locker room that had mat, and probably about an hour we just sat on the mat stretching and didn't really talk about wrestling at all. He was talking about life in general, how he was more worried, he was more focused, his kids were focused on their education and didn't let them watch wrestling and stuff like that. So it was just like, it was general life experience and like how life in general.
Yes.
Another one was getting choked out by the Iron Sheik. Me and my partner just JoJo, we did a match against a tag team known as Hatebreed down at Funkified Wrestling Federation in Christiana, Delaware. It's funny how I remember these locations.
Not to cut you off, but Funkified Wrestling Federation was a company owned by Tommy Walsh.
Yeah.
Funky White
JD
Boy.
Smooth.
Funky White Boy, JD Smooth, yeah.
Yep. And the Sheik, Iron Sheik, just happened to manage the team. Since I'm more the talker of the two in the tag team, I cut the promo on Sheik. Ooh, somebody's dog's barking back there in the background.
Yeah, that's my dog upstairs.
Wow.
Yeah, so I cut the shoot promo on Sheik, which I really didn't want to, but to make it more realistic, I dropped the whole thing talking about, I mentioned Warrior, and I mentioned B. Brian Blair.
Hogan.
No, just those two basic names, because, you know, when you, so he's managing these guys, and Sheik puts his two cents in. They toss me out, and I have pictures posted on my Facebook and Instagram where Sheik's choking me out with his cane. He was still walking around with the cane at the time. He had it wrapped around my throat, so it's almost like the camel clutch, but with the cane on the outside of the ring, choking me out. So I'm like, all right, cool. I got choked out by Sheik, so that was a pop moment. And one other time was when I met Mickey James, I'm going to say. Well, I think that's a story to be left off air. It's not bad. It's just kind of awkward just to tell the story, and I think it's better off just being left among the boys, us, than put it out there.
Yeah.
It's like I said, it's nothing bad. It's just kind of funny and awkward on my part, though.
Yeah, the first time I met Mickey James, she was still going by Alexis Lurie.
Wow.
It was about, it was at a Bay Ragney show.
A Liberty show?
Yep, and it was when she was getting looked at to get signed.
Do you remember the location for that show?
No. I remember it was some kind of gym. That's about it. Simon Diamond was there.
You know what? I bet you it was the Eddie Stone Firehouse or the Eddie Stone Boys and Girls Club.
Yeah. And she used to have a manager that used to come around with her that wore a blue furry vest named Ben something.
Yeah.
Bluey Furry Vest Girl.
We're going way back, yeah. I remember those shows.
And I'm going to have to say the last and final one I want to say is just being friends with guys like Samu from the Head Shrinkers.
Mm-hmm.
I worked for his pops when Pops was still up here in Allentown. Now he's been doing WXW in a while. Samoan Train Center down in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Sam took over this area up in the Allentown area, but I think the school's closed down now. I haven't really talked to him as of late, but the last couple times, you know, I mentioned to him, I said, dude, ever since I've been working with you, it's like having a big brother in the business that I've never had, and I told him how much I appreciate him so much, and him and his family are so open and welcoming.
Oh, yeah.
It's ridiculous. Like, there's times where I could be sitting at work and I'll get random instant messages from Sam sending me stuff different random stuff in the middle of a work day, or there's a couple times where he reached out to me for some help that some stuff that might be in my area, you know, for different things. But yeah, just that slight bond of connection that this business allowed me to gain throughout the years with certain people. And like anybody in the business, like, sometimes you grow a friendship that lasts forever. And people on your regular day-to-day basis wonder, dude, you're working here at this job, you're living a normal life. How do you know these people? Why not you? How come you're not at a level status what they are? I'm like, I don't care about, okay, if I made it to that kind of level, hey, that's great, that's fabulous. But me just...
Good for you.
Me just knowing them and having that that honest, respectful relationship that we can just talk in general like we were I'm not gonna say best friends, but like if we were just neighbors hanging out on our front porch just talking on an average day, when guys can reach out to you and just have a conversation like that, and these are guys who've been on pay-per-views, travel the world, that's a blessing right there.
I remember walking into Icons the first time we did it and Meaty saw me and Meaty moved people. people. He's like, Dave, get over here. And he's like, what are you doing here? I'm like, I got a table. I'm hanging out. So every single time we go to Icons, I see Meanie. And literally, it's a good time to see old friends like Meanie and the FBI and talk to them and hang out. And knowing that, well, these guys have worked for the WWE and stuff like that. And it's cool. So moving on to the next segment.
I was going to say, like, even you, like, your brother Mike. Right. You know, it's a blessing to have him as I'm not going to say he's one of my best friends because we don't hang out like that.
No.
But being a close relationship with him in the business where I can trust his word, if I was running shows and he referred talent to me or whatever, I can trust his input of who to use, who not to use, as well as like he trusts me enough where like if someone needed a sound guy at the time or at the time when I'm still renting the ring I have, that he would refer me out to people too as well. So there's that trust factor where, you know, you can help each other out too as well. And I appreciate that from your brother for all the years that I've known him.
So basically what you're trying to say is Mike is the preferred Keener to you.
Yes.
And he's yes. the better one. That's what I'm reading from it.
Yes, the better Keener.
Mike over here gets the gimmick. No, there's been times where I've wrapped a match and Mike would call me and go, you fucked up. I'm like, what did I fuck up on? He's like, go back and watch the match again. And then I go back and I missed the spot.
Yeah, better Keener.
Shut up.
It's kind of like Dolph Ziggler and Ryan Nemeth, but different.
Yeah. So we like to do this one segment called Five Questions of Doom.
What's it called?
Five Questions of Doom.
Oh, you're too heavy. You're like, it's the Five Questions of Doom.
Oh, you want me to go like, okay. Five Questions of Doom.
No, I don't want you to sound like a third grade little girl who just saw Santa Claus.
Oh, you want me to go?
It's now time for the Five Questions of Doom.
So this is a game we play, and it's non-wrestling questions or...
It's non-wrestling related questions.
Yeah, so we got Mike over here. He's going to read off the first one.
Okay, so question one. Bruce Wayne or Tony Stark?
Ooh, Bruce Wayne or Tony Stark?
Tony Stark.
Okay.
That is incorrect. Question
three. What? What do you mean it's incorrect? You just asked me, you didn't ask the question.
Wah, wah, wah.
Wait.
That's just me. I'm just a big Batman guy. That's just me.
We're just ribbing you, man.
Question number two.
I look at both of them being rich superhero guys, but Tony Stark has the cooler toys.
It's the toys. The chicks dig the toys.
Okay, question number two. What is your favorite entrance song to come out to?
I think I'm sexy.
What, my favorite?
Yeah, what's your entrance song? What do you like to use?
Mine is custom.
Yours is a custom one?
Yeah, he has his own.
Yeah, I have my own. So I don't have to worry about entrance music, really, so.
Okay, so then question three.
Question three.
Longest road trip.
Longest road trip.
I might have to say Florida.
Okay.
Like I said, I think it was Florida that I can remember.
Okay. Question four, Yogi Bear or Boo Boo?
That is a tough one for me. Because Yogi's a man. He liked to eat, but, hey, you know, I'm not. But then Yogi, he was kind of the more smart one of the two with common sense. I'm going to have to go with Boo Boo because, like I said, I'm more of a common sense guy.
Yeah, Yogi was a little bit flighty. Yogi, I felt, kind of was on the sticky icky a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's why he was always hungry, too.
I'm a little high.
That's why.
He was high as shit.
I mean, that's why he's always trying to steal the picnic messages for the food, you know? That weed back then was great.
Yeah, because Yogi was more out there, more wild. He was unpredictable. And Boo Boo was more cautious and careful. And, cross his T's, dot his I's type of guy, type of beer.
Okay, so final question. Question number five. Favorite comedian?
Favorite comedian.
Ooh.
I don't know that one.
I don't know him.
I don't mean.
I don't have a favorite comedian. comedian by far. It's random because every comedian has a different thing about them that I like. I don't have. I got Fox News. That's a bunch of clowns and jokers right there. Fox News. Even though I don't watch them, like I said, they're a bunch of clowns and jokers right there. A lot of jokes they tell.
I mean, I only watched it the other day because they had Hornswoggle on with the whole bit with Peter Dinklage. Nobody heard about this? No?
No.
Apparently they're going to redo Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, and Peter Dinklage wants them to call it Snow White and the Seven Little People.
But he doesn't want them to live in a cave.
Right.
They didn't live in the cave. They worked in the cave.
Yeah, but once Snow White found them.
Yeah, they had a house.
That's why Snow White was cleaning it up.
And thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Mike. Have a good
Adios.
One.
Have a good one, Mike. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Mike.
Cheers. Thank you.
He can't hear you anymore.
I was trying to come in. It's okay. It's okay. Thank you anyway.
Thank you.
Echo. I'm sure he's gone now.
He is.
All right, see ya.
Okay. I don't know where you went. So let's do how we get there.
You got any more questions?
Yeah, we got three more.
So
my favorite comic characters there. I'll put it out there. I like Superman from DC and the Incredible Hulk from Marvel. There. That's my crew. Right there, them two.
Writing it down. So I'm an old school guy. I know you are too, and I don't understand why, like, lately anymore, there's no how do we get there. Like, why are we doing a death match? Why are we doing a ladder match? Why? How do we get there? Do you feel the same way?
Hey, let's put this on. Let's just do this.
Right. Like, why? Why are we doing this?
No story. No build up. No nothing. Exactly.
Like, I don't understand why there's no build up anymore. Do you agree with this?
Yes, exactly. There is no build up. It's like even on WWE, like back in the day. Okay, now they got pay-per-views every month of the year. Back in the day that I loved, where we only had those four main pay-per-views, which was Rumble, Mania, SummerSlam, and Survivor Series. That way you had all that time in between to just build. And I know it's all about money, making the pay-per-view, it's all about ratings and this and that, but, you know, whatever. It is what it is, you know.
Dave's like, yeah, I agree with you.
I mean, Dave agrees with me, right, Dave?
Yeah, I always agree. I'm tired of seeing companies doing this. And
like, and it's no offense, I loved working for that show back on January 15th, but the main event was a barbed wire death match.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, why did we get there?
Why?
Yeah. Was there a story behind it?
It was just for a title. No.
It was just, hey, two guys, we're going to do a barbed wire death match, and that's it. Yep. No reason behind it.
Nope.
No reason.
And I want to know why.
And then we gave them good storylines for the weeks to come.
If you guys could see my face right now with my eyes rolling in the back of my head, I'm like, I can't work like this under these conditions. What the hell? Wait, hold up. I'm too old for this shit. Yeah. Danny Glover. Leave the weapon. I'm too old for this shit.
That is a great quote, and I love that quote. Too old for this shit. It's true. I'm too old. But yeah, we'll tell you the story after we go off of the air.
Wait a minute. There's a sporting goods store right around the corner from me called Dusty Roads.
Yeah. Now we need to find it.
Apparently it's right up the street.
Yeah, we're going to find it. We're taking it. So the next question is called three matches. So
three matches.
So we want your three favorite matches of all time, and then three matches that you were involved in too.
So my three matches of all time,
watching, and the three that you were involved in.
Yes. See, we put you on the spot.
No, not really. As a kid growing up, three matches. Okay, I'm gonna have to say, and it's probably gonna revolve around the same guy, maybe Bret Hart versus Mr. Perfect at SummerSlam when he took the Intercontinental Championship.
91.
I guess that was it. I don't remember that year.
Oh, it's my favorite year.
And like I said, these matches will probably revolve around the same guy. So, yeah, I'm going to put it out there again. Bret Hart versus the British Bulldog in Wembley Stadium.
92.
Where he loses the championship.
92.
And and Bret Hart. I can't remember if this was WrestleMania or another SummerSlam. It might have been another SummerSlam. Versus Rowdy Roddy Piper.
WrestleMania.
Yeah, I couldn't remember which one it was.
Sure wasn't 10? Yeah.
No, it was 8. WrestleMania 8's one of my favorite pay-per-views. For the IC title.
Those eras of Bret Hart not at the World Heavyweight Championship spot yet, those eras of him going out on his own from tag team, and I'm a huge tag team fan. I love tag team at all. The Hart Foundation, hands down, my favorite tag team of all time. But me and Bret going to singles and having those particular matches, the one him getting recognized, gaining that championship, the emotional roller coaster within the family situations, being that, you know, the brother-in-law, especially in that stadium in Wembley against the Bulldog. Then the thing with Piper, because Piper was really close with the Hart family and stuff like that.
That was a
really good one. And then when you got to the end of it with Piper looking to use the bell and then slap the sleeper on, and then Bret kicked off the top rope and rolled him up while he was still in the sleeper hold to pick up the win. That was phenomenal as well. You know, so right there, them three there, because when I started training, everything I did during training mimic Bret Hart, you know, but when it's time for match time going into a lot of shows, everything I did in the ring for training wasn't utilized in the matches, because at the time I was green, I was the jobber, I was putting everyone else over. Something that kids don't do today. Where's the jobbers? There's no jobbers at all. Everyone comes out of school, everyone's a fucking superstar, you know, instantly.
Yeah.
So
it's like your shit don't stink.
Yeah. Instead of earning your stripes, earning your colors, you know, everybody already got gimmick names and outfits already picked out. Instead of being like the I was just talking to Matt Turner the other night, instead of like the Japanese style, when he was training with CM Punk back in Ring of Honor, the greenies, the young boys, all they did was basic black. That's it. No colors, no this, that. It was simple. You didn't have a gimmick, whatever. And that's what they do over in Japan too, where all the young boys and stuff like that. That's what today's kids don't. Well, we never did the whole no colors thing back then or anything like that. It was just the fact of being the greenhorn doing the job. But yeah, those are my three favorites, hands down, that I love. Other people are going to say Savage, Steamboat, Hogan, Warrior, Hogan, Andre. Yes, they're up there. But Bret was the guy who I mimicked myself after while I was training. So it's like I his technical skill set, it was simple, and I enjoyed that. And you said three of my favorite matches that I were in?
Yes.
Okay. One had to be in I believe it was Meadville, PA, for Madmar Entertainment. It was me and this kid, Tyler James. They were an offshoot promotion working with the NWA. And we did a ladder match. There was no storyline to this match.
How did we get there?
How did we get there? Because it was my first time there. The thing was, there was another guy who was scheduled to be in the match against this kid. Apparently, he couldn't make it or whatever, and I got called in to fill that spot.
Yeah.
And then as this ladder match was going, as we're looking over the ladder match, I was pretty much like, what's the goal here? There's a ladder match, but there's nothing to retrieve or anything. So my idea was, let's hang a steel chair on a hook or something like that, hanging above the ring, and we climb up to get it. And the first person who can utilize the chair and use it against their opponent wins. You know, you have to use it on your opponent. So what happened was, this was a great match, by far one of my favorites. I wish I could find video footage of it. We were hitting all these cool ass spots. That was kind of dangerous. But yeah, I ended up grabbing this ladder. I mean the chair that was hanging up. Kid's getting up off the mat. I take a swing at him. He ducks. The chair hits the top rope, springboards back, hits myself in the head. I hit myself in the head, which leads me to drop in the chair. So I use it against myself by accident, which that don't count. Your opponent has to use it on you. So I'm selling that. He grabs the chair. I get up. I turn around and I walk into him swinging it at me. So I take two chair shots at the end. One me with the rope springing it back, and then the second one with him going over. And then later on that night, we did show each other respect. He was all beat up from that match. So later on that night, there was, a battle royal. And I guess he was the last person to supposed to be come out. But he was supposedly too all beat up from the match or whatever, like limping and stuff like that. So during the main event of this battle royal, I guess it was a Royal Rumble type. And I came out having him over my arm and shoulder, helping him to the ring. His opponent from the match helping him to the battle royal, which then he goes over in that then. So it was like a sign of respect, like, okay, we did battle, and I'm going to help you at least make it to the ring for this. Am I going too long with these stories?
No, you're fine.
All right. Another one was FWF, Funk the Five Wrestling Federation. Me and JoJo taking on self-employed JD Smooth and Funky White Boy inside of a steel cage match. That match is actually online. It might be on YouTube, I think. It was a nice steel cage match for the FWF tag team titles. Me and JoJo walks out the champs towards the end. JoJo actually laid me out with a chair by accident. So it was like a scene in a movie where someone gets shot or whatever, or they're passing out. That was my vision, where you just see blur and like the person, and you're looking through the person's eyes where they're just like falling to the mat and everything goes black. That was me during the match. So I ended up surviving and continuing and finishing the match. Last but not least, favorite have to be my first one, because it's the debut. It's your birth. It's your baptism in fire. You know, it's your welcome to the business, kid.
That is cool. That is really cool.
So and it was against one of my trainers, which he ended up finishing me off with the superplex off the top rope, which I think he only stood on the second rope. But as homage to him, as time went on in my career, I started doing the superplex off the top rope as homage to him because of that first match and him being one of my trainers. But I did it off the top rope as a finisher. So yeah, that's my three phase and my three personal phase of myself.
Let's do one more one more question.
One more match? You know,
one more match.
Match.
Yeah, let's do one more match.
I ain't got one. I don't have one more match in me unless it's probably a battle royal or some kind of six-man tag or something like that where I can do that.
I mean, the last time I saw you work was in a battle royal.
Yes. Under the hood. With your brother. Your brother's favorite wrestler eliminated me, that Kid America guy.
Yeah. Oh, God. Dave hates him. I don't know why. It's like, I hate this guy.
Yeah.
We're going to do one more question.
One more question. This is the final question.
This is the final question.
This is the final question.
No.
There we go. Chio got it.
We got it. Yeah, I know. It's the final question.
So I know that you have too many of these. So last question we're going to ask is, give me a road story.
Ooh, a road story.
A road story. Like a roadhouse.
Like Roadhouse?
Like a little Roadhouse.
Oh, my God. I honestly don't think I really have favorite memorable road stories like some people do.
Do you have one that we're allowed to talk about?
I'm just trying to think off the top of my head. I went down, me, Mike Marvel, Mark Maverick, and a guy by the name of Mike Johnson, who lives in Florida, but he used to live up here. We traveled from PA, and we went down for the weekend to AIWF. We were one of the affiliate companies for New Era Wrestling Federation. We went down there. They had Ricky Morton and stuff down there. It was just a fun road trip. Just the guys. Like I said, there's no really backstory of anything that I really don't have any that has a funny thing to it, except that everyone kept checking out Mark Maverick because he was the one that was in shape of the group, but he was the midget. He was the short guy of the group. The chicks were all over him. We kept trying to tell him, hey, we're in room. You know, we're telling what room we're in, what hotel. Like, you know, and then Marvel, he didn't realize it. I think the one chick was hitting on him, but she was actually a he, you know, but didn't realize. So, like, it's kind of iffy about, we were, like, chuckling, like, what could have went down? But, like I said, I really don't have no interesting road stories like most people do. Like, mine was pretty much simple road trips, and a lot of road trips I did on my own, really, seriously. Like, yeah. I drove myself. So, I honestly, do you have another question? Because I can't really touch upon, really, a road story.
Ribs?
I mean, barbecue.
Barbecue ribs?
Yeah. You had a rib?
Prank?
Prank.
Ribs and oh my god!
I know we're asking the tough ones.
Yeah, because you know what? I never really got into ribs and prank either in the business. I was one of those guys who wasn't in that group of guys who I'm like, I wouldn't mind it. It wouldn't have bothered me, but I was not one of those ribbers or had any really done to me at all.
What about pet peeves in the business?
There we go. You got a pet peeve?
I'm making this tough on you.
No, don't worry.
No, we're just killing time.
Thanks. Bring me on the show to kill. That's right. Book Keel for us for your podcast. He's the time killer. Thanks, guys. I appreciate that.
See, you like our ribs?
Now I got a pet peeve. Guys that booked me as a time killer.
I wasn't doing the time killer. Keener was.
Hey, I'm sorry. I got to pull the rib. Sorry.
All right, well, then there's my rib story then. You just ribbed me. All right. Pet peeves. Guys who go out there and in some fucked up way has a promoter lose the building. Whether they be inconsiderate to certain fans and those fans just happen to know the owners, or they damage the building, or people steal from the building, whatnot. Talent, you know, that you're just costing it for everybody else in that locker room to lose a spot to work. You're losing a spot for that promoter to work and this and that. Show some respect. Show some moral and ethical type of just values. You know, this business already has enough knuckleheads. Another pet peeve is some of this talent out there cannot stay out of the DMs of young fans that are underage or even just trying to hit on my head shows. That's a big pet peeve. I have my own children. I know a lot of guys who have their own daughters in the business as well. We do not like these. So you can imagine how we feel when we hear about guys that we probably work with that we thought they were cool guys and this and that. And then all of a sudden they start getting name dropped and screenshots of conversations are being posted and then they're blackballed. Like, dude, go find someone you're up 18 and order your own. Don't be a dickhead. You just screwed your career.
Yeah.
Then the supporters, the ones who get caught doing this stuff, and then you got the ones who are continuing having their, oh, they're a good guy, nothing like that. Oh man, and they're still getting booked and like, oh, he's my friend, he's not like that. Well, apparently so, you know, like used for backing it up, you know, you're just as wrong, because then how can I trust you then, you know, if you're going to support what they're doing? So yeah, it's just those, that's just a couple small key things, you know, but I'm sure there's a lot more other stuff that's a pet peeve. Of course, being an older vet, a lot of times we sit around and we pick shit out while we're in the locker room looking like, oh, look what the hell they're doing. They're doing this, they're doing that. You know how we say they don't listen to us about how to do business and this and that.
Oh yeah,
that's pretty much it, really. So, you know,
yeah. So I do have an old pet peeve, like wrestlers that do their own business in the ring and try to like stab somebody over and over and over again to make them bleed and not. The Hannibal.
No. That's a whole other thing.
Yeah, that's a whole different story.
Yeah, that's a pet peeve of mine, too. It's like, you need safety in the ring. You need to protect the boy on the other end, stuff like that.
Yeah, and then there's also the ones where you have certain things lined up for your show, and talent tries to go into business for themselves, whether, like, you know, don't touch the mic unless told by the promoter. Next thing you know, they're grabbing the mic, cutting promos, and like dropping F-bombs if it's a family show. Guys who are unhappy with the promoter or what's going on, or they're pissed off they gotta drop the strap, so after they take the pin or whatever, they just get up and walk out of the match. Just random shit of guys trying to go into business for themselves.
That was awesome.
Thank you.
I've actually had some guys do that on one show that I was at, so yeah, I know that how that feels.
Which show?
NFG.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, Gio, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. This has been the 2300 Wrestling Podcast. I'm Dave Keener alongside DB Richards, and we'll see you in the ring. We'd also like to thank our guest, Gio Frost, for coming on the show today. Thank you.
Thank you. This is Gio Frost, and you're listening to DB Richards and that sweet team referee Dave Keener on the 2300 Wrestling Podcast.
Sam Alfalzi here.
And Zach Ravix.
Super Crazy Wrestling, Super Crazy Arena, Skid Row Academy. We are indeed the best facility in New Jersey. There's no doubt about that. Yeah, probably no doubt. In the world, extremely top three, I would say. We have very terrific trainers. Actually, they all come from the Ring of Honor Dojo, so yeah. You already know you're...
So they're going to be great, and they're definitely great.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You're going to experience some, you know, pretty elite stuff. You know, we're all about intensity here. You know, we're always here to help. We're always reach one, teach one. That's our main thing. You know, I feel like if you're a person that really feels like wrestling is your dream and that's what you want to accomplish, this is the best school to come to.
Or burn.
Okay.
What Bragg said.
So, once again, you know, best school probably in the world. Definitely in Jersey. You can find it. You can find it on Facebook, Super Crazy Wrestling and Skid Row Academy. And Instagram, Super Crazy Wrestling, Skid Row Academy. You can contact Melissa Pena or O-Dog, and he'll come find you if you don't find him.
Or I will.
Or
Brax.
Or Brax.
You'll
burn.
No, you won't burn.